Ladies and gentlemen.
Columbia.
You're listening to Pacific Town Sound Radio.
Hello and welcome to Pacific Sound Radio, your go-to source for everything happening in the Vancouver music scene. I'm James Olson.
And I'm Travis Noel.
Well, folks, we made it to episode 50. How
Woo!
About that?
Yeah!
I forgot my noisemaker at home, but I'll save it for another time.
I have my noisemaker.
Your mouth?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want before we get into the episode, I want to say a big thank you to the team here at Save on Meats, the Persephone Snug staff, and the Save on Radio family, and listeners like you for supporting the show. We can't wait to see what the next 50 episodes have in store for us. We've really only scratched the surface, I'd say, in terms of the wealth of talent here in Vancouver. And we can't wait to shine the spotlight on more bands and artists that make up the local scene. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you.
Let's see. So for Pacific Sound Profile today, we'll be chatting with multidisciplinary designer Brandon Fletcher, and I just lost track of where I was talking. Brandon Fletcher, who does visually stunning video and photography with his studio Faked Potatoes, and in our second hour... I don't know why I have the giggles right now.
I don't know why either.
I don't know why either. In our second hour, we'll be joined by Kel Roman. I don't
Stop
know why
giggling.
Okay. You want to take it over so I can...
All right. In our second hour, we're going to be joined by Kel Roman. Kel is an up-and-coming folk-pop singer-songwriter currently working on his debut EP, Into the Frequencies.
Thank you, Travis. I guess I'll turn the mic back to you to kick off the weekly roundup. So what's in the news for this week?
All right. Well, last night was a great night in Vancouver with Live Acts Canada's Best in Vancouver Finals at the Railway. Jaden and myself were fortunate enough to be there judging, and all of the acts did amazingly well.
Wasn't Ronnie there as well? Ronnie,
yeah.
Our photographer?
Yeah, Ronnie was there. She was judging. She was photographing. I think the winner is going to be getting a video with her.
Oh, that. So I'll let you say who the winner was before.
Yeah. Before you spoil it.
Well, yeah, I was going to spoil
it. All the acts did amazingly. Sleeping Gonzales, Antoinette and the Latest, Major Fantasy, Andy Hunter and the Potter. It was an amazing show. Congratulations to Major Fantasy, who came in first place.
Very interested to see what Ronnie does with Major Fantasy in terms of a video.
Yeah, it was super cool. They closed the night with Circle of Life from The Lion King.
In light of
like
the
cover?
New trailer for the Jon Favreau movie?
Obviously.
I guess so. I mean, that's actually
it's
not
a
bad song to cover, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Never heard it covered.
No, me neither. It's got, well, didn't you say, what do you call it, Brian O'Brien covered Friend Like Me?
Yeah, from Aladdin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I was ever to cover a Disney song, it'd probably be Hellfire from Hunchback of Notre Dame, because that song's really dark. Or Poor Unfortunate Souls. That song's really good, too.
That other song from The Lion King that Scar sings, and it's all, like, creepy
Ooh,
and weird.
That song's great.
Sounds
I'd be
like,
prepared.
Almost like Leonard Cohen.
It's because it's Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does kind of sound like Leonard Cohen. I never made that connection.
Mm-hmm. No, that'd be good.
Yeah. But yeah, that's great. I was at a show last night as well. The Noodle Boys, who I'm good friends with, are a fantastic surf rock band featuring trombone, which is always fun.
Surf rock ska.
They host parties at their, well, they host house shows every few months or so. And this show was as amazing as any other one I've been to, I think. I had a few libations. Just a few. It kind of hit me a little hard.
Yeah,
but I had a great time.
When James is hungover, he gets the giggles. That's just
apparently. No, I'm in a good mood for whatever reason. So the Noodle Boys played, of course, because it's their place they always play. They also had Wrecked Beach and Whisper Disco. And all the bands were fantastic. Everyone had a great time. Can't wait to go back. Hopefully my band can play there again. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, for sure.
And you folks, well, folks, I guess I'm talking to Travis more than our listeners. I don't know if you know these people, but definitely want to have the rest of the PSR team show up to a show at some point.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So what else
Absolutely.
Is we got in the news?
All right. Well, hey, you want to go to Idaho and play in a music festival? Well, now's your chance. Music BC is partnering with the Treefort Music Fest going on March 20th, 24th. Applications are open on do604.com until December 19th. Yeah, just get on this great opportunity.
Yeah, I should apply with my band. I don't think we'd be considered because we're a little new, but why not?
Yeah, I mean, just get your name out there. If you don't get it, at least you're on their radar. And
yeah,
well, like, hey,
sure.
These guys keep applying. They're doing stuff.
Yep. Yeah, because we're just like, we're trying to build up a pipeline of stuff so our applications are better for opportunities like that. But yeah, get on it. Idaho's not that bad.
Yeah. It's apparently going to be a really good music fest, too.
Yeah, I've heard Boise's a cool town.
Mm-hmm. All right. And in our last bit of news, Exclaim has announced their class of 2019 showcases. It's a super cool thing where they pick bands that are poised to blow up. For Vancouver, on January 17th, you can see Little Destroyer, Dumb, Haley Blaze, and Kim Gray at the Biltmore Cabaret.
We definitely need to have Dumb and Kim Gray on the show. I think Kim Gray put out an album last year. It was really personal. I think it was about the death of a family member, and it was really good. Like, he does really interesting guitar work. But yeah, that's a great lineup. Definitely going to try and make it out to that show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can't imagine it wouldn't fill up or at least sell out.
Oh, that I hope it sells out. I mean, it's the Biltmore. It's not that huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And that's the news.
So this week's Pacific Sound Profile is on Brandon Fletcher. Brandon is a photographer, videographer, and multidisciplinary designer who has worked with a range of international and local music acts, including Leisure Club, J.P. Maurice, M83, The Faceplants, Van Damsel, and Roco Code under the moniker Faked Potatoes. He has served as the creative director for a variety of organizations, is a part-time instructor at the Nimbus School of Recording and Media, and was recently elected to the Music BC Board of Directors. Please welcome Brandon Fletcher.
Well, it sounds so fancy when you say it like that.
Oh, you got an impressive resume. I was going through that, and I'm like, oh, it's just like, I won't even have time to talk about all the things that he's been doing. This is a challenge. But I'll try my best. Okay. When did you realize that your vocation in life was in the world of arts and culture?
Probably when I realized that if that didn't work out, I was totally fucked.
fair enough.
It was just a really nice motivation to get something done. Probably, I don't know, I think when I was a kid, I always thought that I was going to be an actor stuntman. I was, like, absolutely convinced.
Stuntman?
Yeah. I liked falling out of trees, and I was, like, really good with towels around my neck, like a superhero. And
you found out that you could get paid to fall out of trees.
It turns out, apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'd film little commercials on movies in our backyard. We did, like, a Mortal Kombat and a Men in Black, and... Then I just got so angry when all my friends would film because they wouldn't be the right shot. They wouldn't get the right angle. So I ended up behind the camera. And then like, just fast forward like 20 years later, and apparently I'm still doing that. So I guess the actor thing might be out the window. Who knows?
Yeah, there's always an opportunity to do the actor-director thing.
It could be. Yeah. The starring, written by, directing, produced by.
As a side character. I'm thinking David Lynch's Gordon Cole in Twin Peaks TV show.
Oh my God, I'm great at yelling on top of that.
I just hope you don't chain smoke as much as he does.
Oh no, I couldn't. I mean, we also Hitchcock would have like small cameras, just be sitting in a corner or on the edge of a bus out of the corner, so maybe I could try that too.
Larry David and Seinfeld.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Tons of examples. Mm-hmm. Your portfolio of work is varied. How'd you get your start in production and design specifically?
Design, I think I grew up in a small town, just outside of Vernon. It was called Lavington, and so it was probably 800, 900 people. And then even Vernon, So even Vernon after that would be about, I don't know, 50, 55,000. And I just remember driving through town with my dad on Saturdays and stopping at a bunch of stores and recognizing how ugly all the logos were for everything. And then commercials on TV were just really bad, and things in newspapers did not look nice. And I'm really OCD, and it drove me insane. And I end up learning the reason that things look the way that they do is because people, well, it's just a small town, or there's not enough money, or there's this. And I just didn't accept that as an excuse. I'm like, that's not a good enough reason to make something ugly. So I guess it was born out of frustration of seeing what I perceived to be an ugly world.
And a desire to improve the local economy.
if not the local economy, then just the kerning between the letters.
I mean, you know, just give it 5 years and Lavington?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can't even remember the name. It's going to be the metropolis of the Okanagan Valley.
It's entirely possible.
Are there any artists or designers that have influenced your approach to photography and filmmaking just in general?
Oh, absolutely. I think I take a lot of inspiration from film in general, even if it is for stuff that I do for photography. You know, we're all a combination of our inspirations growing up, and for me it was cinema that was my way to look out at the world. So I think 80s cinema specifically, and not even just a general directors. I mean, you can get into James Cameron, Terminator, or Aliens. Very much just that retro future. This idea of... It was kind of the last generation that thought they had hope, and it went into the cynicism in the 80s. And like, that's sort of the way that I like to look at the future as well. So that as an aesthetic, but as artists, I think it breaks down to just people like Stanley Kubrick, which are constantly beat for beat. Every movie that he's made has been a very different style and genre, but one of the best of said genre that it lives in. Hitchcock as well has been a huge inspiration. Lynch, I'm really happy that you brought that up.
I love David Lynch. My roommate makes fun of me how much I talk about David Lynch.
Your roommate sounds like he should move out. He, she, they. I'm not going to assume their gender.
No,
but
it's a he.
Well, he's a monster.
He's a... I need to buy him some apology food because I was a bit of a drunk idiot when I got home last night at 3 in the morning.
You guys are mentioning.
I'm sorry. Here's some Japanese desserts.
We'll just throw in season 3, episode 8 for Twin Peaks. Maybe that'll be a nice thank you. It's totally out there. It's totally different.
Oh, totally not a frustrating watch at all.
It's almost a silent movie for the first half of it.
Oh, the scariest homeless people I've ever seen in my life.
What does it need a light? Got a match?
Got a light?
Oh, terrifying.
This is the water, and this is the water.
Yeah, fuck, so good. Cinema, yeah, so those people for directors, and actually recently for photography, and this has been a really impressive one, and I'm so impressed by what she does. She's probably 26 or 27 now, but Petra Collins out of Toronto, very young, got established quite early, and I think by 23 or 24 she was shooting these really crazy Gucci campaigns, but her photographic style has been mimicked all over Tumblr and other TV shows and photos that people are taking these days, whether or not they're sort of recognizing where this is coming from. So yeah,
trendsetter.
This small feminist artist out of Toronto, and she's been doing an absolutely fantastic job. So I'm been really impressed and inspired by her stuff.
Fuck yeah. It's always nice to be inspired by contemporaries in terms of just people kind of around your age.
Oh, and just seeing how much effect they have. Again, like this is, you know, a young person in their 20s that campaigns all over the world are trying to mimic her style.
Let's see. You've kind of partially answered this, but do you have a single favorite film director? And if so, why?
Oh,
it's hard, and it's a hard question.
That is a hard one. I've been getting a lot more into a few other... It'd be default to go to Kubrick. I think that's an easy one, though.
It's a good one.
I've been really digging a lot of Luca Guadagnino lately, both Call Me By Your Name and the Suspiria remake.
Oh, I didn't know... I didn't know he did Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that he just went from that to the Suspiria remake.
Well, and before that, he did a bigger splash, which was actually a remake of an old Alain Delon film from the 50s or 60s. It was a French New Wave film. Actually, absolutely fantastic as well. And that original director, I've been getting into some of his work. But he's definitely, I would say, style over substance, but I can relate to that. I have a hard time putting a proper narrative in a lot of my work, so the style over substance works with me for him.
Do you watch any of, Nicholas Winding Refn?
That was the other person I was going to bring up.
Oh, holy shit.
Because that's along the same lines of, like, just super... I like someone that's going to be very posting binaries. People love or hate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Super divisive work.
Yeah. Have you seen The Neon Demon?
Probably 13 times. I accidentally just remade that for a music video.
You're a brave man, because I'm not sure I'd want to rewatch the last half hour of that movie.
So, what are we having, a party? And then the eating and the eyeball? And
it's more the autopsy. That was a bit much.
Oh,
I'm not even going to talk about the details on the air, because that's just gross. But I would recommend the movie, but just...
That's a really hard
listeners,
scene.
Be prepared for the last half hour to be really fucked up.
There's also an extended cut that adds like 3 more minutes. And I think part of it's the autopsy scene. It's a lot more Jenna Malone and her situation.
But amazing film.
Amazing, absolutely. Stunning. Again, someone who is style over substance. Like, absolutely no substance in almost any of his films, but aesthetically, they are flawless. Drive, it's just brooding Ryan Gosling, and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
You can get away with that more easily in film.
You can. And so, 2019, he has a whole Amazon series, Too Old to Die Young, that's coming out. And they
Doing a series?
Yeah.
Holy
shit. Oh, yeah. And it's got lots of regular players. And it's going to be Daniel Baldwin's in it as well. We're not Alec, but it's A. Baldwin.
No, there's a Simpsons joke about that. It's just like, oh, it's Daniel Baldwin. Alec Baldwin. Who? I haven't heard of you.
Oh, yeah. So really looking forward to that. 10 episodes. I've been following them behind the scenes. And so, yeah.
Do you know what it's about?
It's going to be a mixture of old samurai-inspired movement throughout the seedy underbelly of L.A.
And
the neon lighting that he always does.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's going to be...
I've not been that excited for a TV show in a
while.
Too
old to die. I'm just feeling like we should be getting a pitch running for this. But yeah, check out... Even the Instagram looks fantastic.
Oh, do you know when it's coming out in 2019?
Not specifically. I'm thinking spring, ideally
January.
Please
be the first few months.
It would be amazing.
Yeah, because now I just like... I'm more excited to watch that than any of the other shows that are on my to-do list.
Anything.
Pretty much anything now. Holy crap. Let's see. So, your studio's called Fake Potatoes.
Yeah.
How did that come together?
That was... It's kind of a trap, actually.
a money hole, if you will.
That's a whole other thing that I... This is money hole in Halifax. So we'll get into that, maybe. The name was... I was writing up a business plan. I was going through the government of Canada, actually, if you are laid off, and I was in the Great Recession of 2008, 2009, and if you were an EI, you could actually apply to go into this government program, and it helped you, it just taught you how to run a business and how to make a business, and it was incredibly useful. So when it got time to register a business name, I'd been going back and forth over nothing, because I literally could not come up with an idea. I mean, I don't know if it comes up with bands that you interview, but... Like, what's in the name? Everything. And then you're committed to that name after a while, except for Blonde Diamond and Youngblood. So I had a few letters in a row written down and two or three websites that I thought that I would make someday. And this would have been written down in, I don't know, a Moleskine 3 or 4 years before then. And I guess I pictured these weird websites that I would design or make like a, I guess it would be a Tumblr now, but one of them was going to be everythingthroughastraw.com. And that would be either taking photos of meals through a straw or make a really nice meal, throw it in a blender, and then make somebody drink it. And then that would be each post. And then
I like the second idea. That's hilarious.
It does sound better. Like, yeah. I think a payoff would come with that.
Oh, McDonald's meal.
I mean, it's already through a blender. It's formed into whatever shape that it is. And, I cannot remember the third one, but the second website was going to be Faked Potatoes, which, I couldn't tell you what that was going to be. Was it maybe going to be like meals that looked real but weren't, and then I'd make people eat them and then they'd throw up? I don't know.
That sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
My life is a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Oh, boy. Who are some of the individuals who make up the Fake Potatoes team?
Oh, that's a fantastic question.
Thank you.
I mean, it absolutely varies from project to project, but there are a few key people that constantly do end up coming in here. And... both of them end up being my roommates, incidentally, which is just, it's a lot nicer too.
You want food? You gotta help me with the shoot.
Well, now they can't get angry at me for a 3 a.m. call time because we're all at the same spot. I don't have to make them go.
Oh, fair enough. So we're on the same schedule. That makes it easy.
Exactly. So, one of them is Jeff Mitchell, and he's often a first AC and a first AD for me. He works on a bunch of TV shows. I think he's just wrapping up a Netflix series right now, and he does special effects. So for what he does for me is more just moving lights and taking things, and I'm too busy to handle them, but he gets to blow shit up and throw crazy grape juice on kids. I don't know what you do in films besides those things, but I'm assuming that's it.
What's your job? I throw grape juice at children.
At children.
And I get paid for it.
Like, living the dream. And probably the other greatest contributor and person that's often on the Fake Potatoes team would be Jacqueline Parker. So she's our hair and makeup often, and which is fantastic because she'll do it whether I've got one or two people on the shoot or 15 to 20 people, and she's always been really strong and emotional and falling asleep at the end of the day with it, but she'll still stay there the whole time. And she also actually runs her own makeup business called Beauty Reawakened, and they to go for all natural and organic makeup, which is been fantastic because it turns out a bunch of the artists that I've worked with on the West Coast, believe it or not, are concerned about whether you're using cruel products or animal products. So those are the three main of us that do a lot of the work.
Good stuff. You've worked on video projects for a number of artists, including a handful of PC-based musicians. Who have been some of your favorite clients to work with?
This is such a loaded question. I feel like if I don't name somebody now, too, then it's going to be just they're going to think I hated
Brandon,
them.
What the fuck?
I'm gonna start with my friend Charlie. So she actually just went under a rebrand, and her act is now called Fangs with two A's. But we've done three videos together, I think, at this point, maybe more than anybody else that I've done work with. And the first time we worked together, she was 16 years old.
Whoa.
And she still, at that time, I think she'd been on two seasons of her own show on YTV with a few other people, too. But she had the best work ethic of almost anyone I'd known, not just of that age, but of just about anybody. And then I was also that video where I realized I was secretly a 16-year-old girl on the inside because we had so many of the same ideas. So I love collaborating with her because she'll come up with some like just crazy out there idea and she'll be like, I don't know, what do you think about this in the video? And I'll be like, yeah, I love it. She's like, I thought you'd hate that. And I'm like, what do you think about this idea? And she's like, let's do it. So we talked about it.
Love it.
Just garbage bags full of plastic lobster spray painted gold and like a gold trash bag, just the weirdest shit. And she's all, I know, I see you scratching your chin.
Scratching my chin. Golden lobsters.
Yeah, you don't have to get it. It's just, it was a thing that we both thought would be fun and great to work
on. Sounds like a favorite meal of a really tacky, rich asshole.
I can't eat, yeah, oh God. Gold lobster, what would that meal cost? It's a $14,000 lobster meal. And you should gold for a week after.
Yeah. Best paint job ever.
Best paint job ever.
Don't bring Trump into that.
No, 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 no. That's the one reference. One reference for the day.
Who else has been? Honestly, almost everyone that I've worked with has been a complete blast. I've been fortunate enough to be acquainted or friends with most of them beforehand, so it's rarely going into something not knowing what it's going to be and then having it go poorly. We have a great community out here.
Yeah, we do. Just need more exposure.
Yeah, definitely.
What was the most challenging video project you've worked on to date?
That's also kind of loaded because everything's, they're all challenging in their own way.
I guess challenging in a rewarding way. It's like, oh, this was hard, but it turned out really well.
Oh, okay.
I'll spin it a little bit more positively.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
These last two questions have been me, like, not trying to dig up dirt here, but I'm just...
Who's the worst piece of shit you've ever worked for? Where to start? Okay.
Let's trash some people. No.
Let's do it. I love talking shit. Okay, no, I do actually, I've got a great one for this. So a few years ago, I think 2015 is when we finally ended up making it. Greg Drummond and I had tried to make a music video for almost a year. So he would have come to me in July 2014 and we sat down and we had this idea and it was ambitious, but it was possible. It just so happened that getting stuff together and some of the money and the grants and the producing parts would have pushed it back a few months. So, before we got to that idea, though, we went through three or four different concepts, and then we came up with a treatment. So concepts, you know, it might just be a paragraph. Like, hey, you walk here, you do this, you meet someone, and then they say yes, and then I'll flesh out a treatment. But a treatment can be 20 or 40 hours kind of work in that. So we had this idea. It got too cold to film it, so we started working on a few more concepts and then a few more treatments, and then eventually it just sort of looked like it might not go somewhere, so I gracefully bowed out. We were both very... on great terms after that happened. It wasn't like I hate you, let's stop. It was just things. It seems like a lot of work and we're not getting there. And then three or four months went by from that time. And then he messaged me again. He said, Brandon, look, I found anyone else that I feel like is going to pull this kind of idea I'm thinking together. Here's another concept and here's a treatment. What do you think about that? And I was honest, and I'm like, I don't feel this treatment at all. But let's try again. Let's see what else we can come up with. So we went through probably 10 more concepts and three more treatments. So we ended up having probably 15 total concepts and five or six completely out there different treatments. I mean,
they matched. A lot of music videos.
It was a lot of music videos. Yeah. And we ended up coming up with one that melded what I wanted and what he really wanted out of it. And at the end of it, it was not really at all what we'd set out to do, but was surprisingly very... I don't know. Watching it still now makes me feel... It was one of the first times we worked with a child on set, and I was concerned about that, but it worked out great, and the whole video felt very warm inside wherever people have feelings. And so, yeah, the end result was not where we thought we would end up, but, you know, still a great result at the end, and we were both quite happy with it.
Fantastic. I haven't seen the video. What happens?
So the idea
I should have watched. To be fair, I watched a few of your videos. I didn't watch all
that.
Of them.
Well, one of the my other example would have been a newer one. But basically, the idea is it takes place in the 50s or 60s, and this mother and father go out to a night and at an opera, probably, we don't know where, but this child is left with a babysitter, and he's watching one of his favorite spaghetti westerns on TV, and he's reenacting the scenes but causing a bit of a ruckus, and the babysitter's on the phone with her boyfriend until he makes a noise that gets her attention, and then they start playing, and she forgets all about her boyfriend, and they just have this nice time with a babysitter and kid, like playing pretend running around the house.
Aw.
Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of, there's a Sad the Whale video, and it's like these two little kids, and they're like, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, or however it is. They're like six or seven, but it's like this married. Adorable thing where they get married. And
oh,
like,
my gosh.
Yeah, and they have a son who's like one of the band members who's like a grown man.
My God, that's
it's
amazing.
So funny.
I've got to check that out.
Yeah. I can't remember what song it's for, but you'll find it. It's so cute.
God, that's, well, it's not too close to ours, I hope. That's my biggest concern is always like whenever a video comes out to be very similar to somebody that is nearby.
It's just like, burn it down. Right. Nope.
Which is, they actually gave us a recommendation for a location earlier this year. So we both filmed in the same studio for two different videos. So there might be crossover there, but
maybe.
That's their own fault. That's Tyler's fault.
Exactly. one of the videos I did watch was the Van Damsel clip for the single Begins With a Return.
Yeah.
And you, the band, and your crew fully committed to traveling all the way down to California by car over 7 days to shoot the video. What was the shoot like, and what was the rationale behind going the extra mile for the clip? Pun intended.
The extra 5,000, actually.
5,000 extra miles.
I think it was 5,000 kilometers. You should have seen the reaction when we got back to budget. The guy fully thought that he'd copied the initial odometer down. It looks like it says here they went 5,000 kilometers in 7 days. Like, oh, yep. We did. So the video itself, the concept of it, our pitch was to make it a road trip video, and I had probably just come out of watching a bunch of Kubrick films, incidentally, at this point, and I think at that time I was rereading how he treated Shelley Duvall during The Shining, when he just make her do 128 takes over and over again, and she had to keep drinking water because she was all out of tears from fake crying for like 30 hours straight or something, and I just thought, boy, I really want to torture somebody. No, but there was...
No. Bad Brandon. No.
Man, okay. That's what they said when I brought that up, too. It's so weird.
Hitchcock apparently was a bit of a dick to some of his
actresses. Oh, boy.
Too,
Tippi Hedren, especially in The Birds, and then in Marnie.
He threw birds at her.
Like real birds. Yeah. For two full days, they threw real birds and scratched at her.
I would hate that. I just, like, I really, like, I birds kind of give me the willies, so I could... Ooh.
That's mad. I'm right there with you. So yeah, I had part of it was just thinking about the method acting version of doing something is you can film something to be something, but we thought if we actually went on a road trip and filmed it as such, it might play more authentically. And at first I was trying to pitch it where we would be camping at night and we'd try to find place to charge in our batteries. And then I thought that, especially with that fact, I felt that it would have an emotional toll on both the band and the actress that were in it, and that would help. But I got vetoed for the camping, and we ended up staying in Motel 8 the whole way down. So, but there was more than a few mornings where people would start the day off with three or four Four Locos just to get in the atmosphere of the whole video, so I don't know if that translates or not.
Oh, man.
Heart attack in a can.
Yeah. I've only had one of those once. And you know, I had paramedics called for me.
Yeah,
so.
I just don't think you're missing anything otherwise.
No.
I have not had a Four Loko since that shoot, if that gives you any indication of where I stand on that.
There was a College Humor video back when I used to watch College Humor.
Man, they were really, really good when they started out,
they had a nice little run. I mean, they're still around, but I don't watch them anymore. Anyhow, they have a parody video called The Ballad of John and Four Loko. It's a parody of the Beatles song. It's actually really good.
Really?
Because it's about this guy, like, yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm buying, it's like, all the lyrics are a parody of the song. It's all about this guy, like, buying Four Loko and just having the worst night ever and getting hospitalized.
Because and Four Loko ads, right? Like every other liquor ad, it's like, please drink responsibly at the bottom. I don't know if you've seen that meme, but someone's like, yeah, like I'm going to sit at home, pour myself a nice cold glass of Four Loko and read a book on a Friday night. Like, the fuck is that? Please enjoy response. Please enjoy our malt liquor responsibly.
Oh, God, I know. Oh, just horrific. Only in America.
Only in America.
Only in America.
God, their dream has come true.
I mean, it's... you know what? It's more American than Budweiser now that I think about it.
It's true.
But, yeah. No, that's really incredible that you literally went all the way to California.
Well, what other opportunity do you have for that kind of a drive as well?
I think, right?
You may as well. If someone else is paying for it, go for a road trip.
Yeah.
That's been my motto in life.
You're very, very smart to pace it out over the course of a week. I did a couple of road trips in college all the way down to Berkeley. 19 hours straight.
That just, what part of that sounds fun?
Not much. I wanted to kill a few people.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, no. Like 8 or 9 hours is probably a good spot of the day, so you don't get on each other's nerves there.
Yeah. I'm just looking, keeping my eye on the time here. Let's see. Oh, this is a good one. So you've served as the creative director for a few different organizations, mm-hmm. including the Habitat Live Music Venue in Kelowna and the Peak Performance Project. How have you been able to adapt your skill set to the variety of companies you have worked with?
That is an excellent question. Thank you. I appreciate that. How I've had to adapt my skill set for whatever I've been working in. Habitat, which actually closed a few days ago after 15 years.
Oh, closed for good?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's,
damn it.
It's done forever.
That so, sucks.
A lot of development. And then I think the Fed, the Grateful Fed as well, is closing January 16th or something, December 16th, in the next few weeks. So a lot of other venues in Kelowna just recently shut down.
Where is my youngest sister going to go drink?
God,
I mean, study. You're studying, aren't you, Marin?
In the library where everyone else does. A lot of these have been very small businesses, which I've always really appreciated working for. You feel like you can make a difference, but also that your opinion matters. But also due to that fact, it's just two or three people running the whole show. So there was, if I didn't do it, then it wouldn't get done, which isn't to say like the other people I worked with wouldn't do it. They had their own list of shit to get done. But it was just when there was a good portion of time there, where there was only three or four of us running the whole show at Habitat for years when we'd scaled it back down. So at that point, and actually the Peak Performance Project had ran parallel to it. And fun fact, the Peak Boot Camp was actually, we would tear down Habitat every August, take the whole venue apart, load it into a couple one-ton trucks and drive it up to Princeton and then reassemble it. And that was a nightmare.
Yeah, that does not sound fun.
God, every year I'd look forward to that time. Yeah, let's just tear this place apart and put it back together. Both of them just ended up being very small teams where if something was going to happen, if we wanted to get done or we wanted it to look bigger, then we had to figure out how to do it ourselves, which again was great because I'm not usually the kind of person that will often put myself in very uncomfortable situations, despite what it may look like.
Most people don't like doing
that. Right. And so just by working with these groups of people or getting involved in these kinds of situations meant that I would really letting other people down, not myself, which is my best motivator. Cause who cares what I think? I don't certainly, but if it's other people and I've committed to them, then that's a great motivator to figure out a new piece of software or how to edit a photo or what a turnaround of 24 hours is supposed to look like for a video.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, it's always about, you know, the best positions are ones where you're working for like a cause that you really care about.
Oh, absolutely. That passion, that motivation to get something done when you normally would be ready to quit.
Mm-hmm. You currently serve as
one more time.
You currently serve as an instructor at the Nimbus School of Recording and Media. What courses do you teach and how would you describe your teaching style?
I don't know how I describe my teaching style. I'll come back to that one. I teach and actually have, co-wrote in the curriculum for video production with Mike Southworth, who is involved with actually a lot of local musicians as well. His wife is Hillary Grist. My God. Sorry, Mike. As another local musician. And the one that we are especially currently running and pushing more is content creation in music and media. So that's basically teaching people how to be me, how to do photos and run campaigns and understand what numbers mean on YouTube and Instagram and make videos and songs and photos and all that crap. My teaching style, I've been told it's sassy and aggressive. I don't really know what that
is. It's aggressive.
It's aggressive. A Degrassi? No, that doesn't have the same. We're going to get sued by Degrassi.
Oh, who cares? Degrassi is money?
That's right.
I'm surprised that they haven't tried to do a reunion special. They're like, hey, Drake, can you come back? Nope.
There's just not enough money in the world.
Come on, Drake. Nope.
Drake could put a Degrassi special together.
Oh, he fucking would, too. God damn it. Anyhow.
I don't know how to describe it. I've kind of made it up as I go. I've had to learn patience, which is not something that I have, which is fine. For me, a lot of things have become second nature, and I have to remind myself that not everyone knows all of these skills that I've done for 10, 15 years, and not to get frustrated if they don't pick it up on the first time, because it took me a long time to get there. So maybe my teaching style might be sympathetic in that I remember being totally uneducated about a lot of things, and that's, you know, if you're in a place to learn and be opening to learn, then it's very easy to teach people, I guess. I don't know. Does that make sense? Does any of that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I've heard somewhere that the best way to learn something is to teach it. So I imagine for you, there's plenty of opportunities to, like, oh yeah, forgot, you know, how this sort of stuff works.
Or even just new ideas. Like, yeah. I pretend to teach them, but really it's the students who pretend to teach me.
Oh, man. Why am I thinking of School of Rock right now? Those who can't do, teach. And those who can't teach, teach Jim.
Gonna totally ruin
that's
your
like
life.
My favorite, that's okay. That's my favorite line from the movie. That movie's great. Best Jack Black film ever.
I haven't gone back to that in a long time.
Yeah, I know. They actually did a video, a photo with him with the kids, and the kids are all like,
I feel like I just saw a headline for that a week and a half ago. Yeah. Is that very recently that happened, or is it just hitting the internets now?
I don't know. It was recent. I can't remember when. Let's see. You were recently elected to the Music BC Board of Directors.
Yes.
What are some of your goals for this new role, and what do you bring to the board in terms of expertise and insight?
My goals are, ideally, I think my goals are just the same as everyone else that's been on the board past and present, and that's to help to watch the financial health of the association and make sure that there are opportunities out there for musicians. What I want to bring to the board specifically is, what I've already seen them doing well for the last couple of years is recognize this changing landscape for the industry. And I don't even just mean the changing landscape, like the switch to streaming and bedroom positions, but just diversity and inclusivity in the music industry. So some awareness of that, and also not that this has ever specifically been an issue with them, but there are times when you'll see marketing slip through for major companies or like celebrating that our diverse team, and it's a bunch of 80-pound white girls. And I would hate to see something like that slip through in a marketing spot. So, again, making sure that there are a lot of minorities out there that are trying it and are doing lots to help the scene and to bring attention to them, as well as raise the awareness of just that the fact that the level of mental illness in the music industry and musicians especially is about 3 times higher on average than the average person. And just have resources available for people like that.
Yeah,
and to know they're not alone. Everyone wants to quit once in a while, and we've all felt that, and it's it's okay to feel that. It's hard.
It's tough. You have to be motivated by passion because it's a hard path.
Can't wait for all my money. That's why we got in this, right?
What's that?
It's Scrooge McDuck. He's got them in bags. He dives into them. Physically impossible. It's dangerous. Just crack his skull.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
God, that's just horrific. Horrific.
I do love that, though. When someone finally pointed that out, it's like, oh, yeah, that's not how coins work. This.
Yeah, that's not even how lava works.
No.
It's dense, man. It's dense.
Are you telling me there's a difference between coins and lava? What?
Only like a modicum, a minor amount.
A few atoms, you know.
Here and there. What is a few atoms between friends?
What are some of the projects you have lined up for 2019?
You know what? That is actually... There's not a lot.
Uh-oh.
Don't, because I've been talking myself down. This is a good thing. I've tried to put myself into a space where I've left some room in the margins. This is a phrase I'm hearing a lot of people use recently, where I'm trying to allow a creative opening rather than just jumping from gig to gig and saying, I'm not the work that I create. I'm not the stuff that I put out. And I think it's important for all creatives to probably say that. So I'm just trying to allow a little bit of extra space to be inspired and to take in new content, because that is, I think, the most important thing as a creative. Allow yourself to see something that makes you go, wow, and to take that in, and then to see where the quiet mind takes me. So I've had a few people reach out about music videos that I'm just going to throw some ideas their way, but I'll make them crazier or more personal ideas, and if they go for them, that's great. But otherwise, I'm trying to think of some personal projects. I've got a few ideas, nothing that I want to totally commit to in case it doesn't come out, but some possible either photo series or short films that I've been thinking about for a long time. There's a photo book that I've been secretly taking photos of for almost a year that I want to put out eventually. So there's a bunch of different ideas, but we'll see where the wind blows me.
Nice. Are there any local musicians or industry professionals that you'd recommend we bring on the show for a future episode?
Yeah, I think you guys just did Blonde Diamond recently. I've got the biggest crush on Alexis ever. That woman does not have a bad angle. Photographing her is amazing. You've already had her on here. That doesn't matter. She's wonderful. I could totally recommend Louise Burns as well. Every time she plays a show, I absolutely love everything that she does and the people she collaborates with. Andrea from the Bell Game is a beautiful
creature. I want to have the Bell Game on the show really bad.
Yeah, I mean, you could get Alex and everybody on as well. That would make sense. It's just about three of them for like a main thing.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, there are so many wonderful local people. Those are the first ones that spring to mind off the top of my head because I've seen a bunch of their shows recently. Just I cannot get enough of them. Ultimately, if you get the We Are the City Boys on too, I would push for them because they are some of the funniest fucking people with banter that I've ever had the pleasure of knowing.
What are your thoughts on the new album? New We Are the City album.
Above Club. Most of my intro to the album has been through their videos, obviously.
The videos are so good.
Joe, I'm coming for you. I need to know what vintage glass you are using on those videos because the texture on them is fantastic. But, so my entire experience has been through the videos, and they've been very minimally done videos, but like everything else that We Are the City does, they've been absolutely stunning. I'm so, so into the new album from like half the songs that I've listened to. I'm dancing around in my room to it. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit, it took me a while to warm up to their sound, but like when this new record came out, I'm like, holy shit, you guys are doing something different.
They're world class. It's frustrating that there's not more attention. And for the achievements they've done, the amount of albums they put out and music mm-hmm. videos, and they're about to finish a second feature film.
Exactly.
Like, how
they
the
put
fuck?
Out feature films. Like, fuck.
We've been doing the same stuff for like a decade, and I don't know how you got so far ahead of me. I don't know. I'm so impressed, though.
Yeah. I have to say, Mid Tempo Drama might be my favorite song of the year.
Oh,
so
dramatic.
That song. Just when the synth comes mm-hmm. in on the chorus, it's just, yeah, it's crushing. It's great.
Oh, man. Yeah, absolutely. I support that.
What is your favorite local release of the year?
Above Club was fantastic. And not to fangirl super hard on Blonde Diamond. I keep trying to say Youngblood. I'm sorry, Alexis. But Better When You're Close, I have been listening to on repeat over and over and over again. It gets me jacked every night. If I have to get out and I've got to go outside of my house and they're for plans after 9 p.m. at night, I know it's insane. It's Better When You're Close comes on, and I will probably play it two or three times in a row just to get fully into it.
Nice. Yeah, it's a solid release. I'd say it's the best thing that they've put out so far.
And she's been doing a lot of producing again with Sleepy Tom, which was some of my favorite tracks off of her first singles were all working really well with him. So great for Alexis and Cam. They're very talented.
Definitely. How can listeners check out your work and keep up with everything you're doing?
Well, probably the easiest way, because after working in motivating and creating in social media for so long, I hate to do it myself, is Instagram. You can go to fakedpotatoes.com, but that's really if a project gets posted. But mm-hmm. fakedpotatoes on Instagram or BW Fletcher for my personal account. But I do put my butt on there. It's very tasteful once in a while. So, I mean, it's not porn, it's art, guys. Just be aware of
that. That's what they're doing on Instagram.
The youths do on Instagram. So just FYI, if you're following, it might be not safe for work here and there.
Noted. What is the best way for bands and artists to get in touch with you?
That is another great question. Both Instagram is great. People message me on Facebook Messenger. I wouldn't recommend it. Sorry to you guys, because that's how you got a hold of me. But the second time, we'd already talked first. I don't check it. I get anxiety from sending red receipts on Facebook Messenger. I can't tell you why. So I check it maybe once every few months, if that. But Instagram DMs. Otherwise, the contact page on the Fake Potatoes website works as well.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.
It's been a lot of fun.
It's been absolutely my pleasure.
And can't wait to see your next video.
Me too. I have no idea what it's going to be.
You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio, and today we are joined by Kel Roman. Kel is a newcomer in Vancouver's vibrant and diverse singer-songwriter scene, having played only a handful of shows to date. He's currently working on his debut EP, Into the Frequencies, with Christopher Wang of RIMA and the Faceplants, with a tentative release set for early 2019. We're going to kick things off with a live number from Kel. What are you going to play for us?
Play a little song called Casual Friday.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I'll explain it. It's got a kind of a cool story to it, but I'll explain it after I play it.
Just make sure you're as close to the mic as you can.
Sure, right here? Okay.
Yeah, you can adjust the arm as well.
Yeah, no problem. All right.
Karma's got its most peculiar ways. Oh, haunted by the sound of her voice, the image of her beautiful face. Why is she gone in the morning? Won't return my telephone calls. Back in the moment, there's nothing that could have gone wrong. Beat out my own game, oh, I didn't know she played. And I might deserve it, but still I feel a bit betrayed. Oh, casual is casual, but there was nothing casual about that. To think I almost talked myself to staying in, but I guess a little bit of hopefulness is better than nothing. She said it wouldn't be the last time she saw me, and it was something I so easily believed. Oh, casual is casual, but there was nothing casual about this one. Is trying to tell me something. Oh, well, this one's trying to let me know that maybe I've been missing something. Oh, 'cause casual is sometimes more than casual.
Sorry, you're listening to Pacific Sound Radio. That was Kel Roman with Casual Friday live in the studio. So, Kel, what was the moment that you realized you wanted to pursue a career as a musician?
That's
when? When, I should say.
That's a good question. I don't know. I feel like it just kind of happened. Like, I was, like, I've always loved music. Like, I've listened to it growing up. My mom used to sing along to the radio. And yeah, I've always been like a singer. And then about when I was like 10 years old, 10 or 11, I picked up a guitar just through the hands of a friend. Like, he started playing and it looked like fun. So I was like, well, yeah, like, let me try that. And so, one Christmas I got a guitar for Christmas. And then, Just slowly started learning from him, like started learning the chords. He's taught me how to read tablature, and then it just kind of happened. And then, like, songwriting was just the next thing. It's always been just something to it's like a therapy almost. Like something's bothering you, and I write a song about it, and then I'm over it. That's why I think it's what keeps me as such an easygoing person.
There you go. Don't need a shrink. Just need a acoustic.
Exactly.
Yeah. Your high school had a program called Rock School. What was that all about? I wish my school had a program like that.
Yeah, no, it was pretty sweet. The teacher around it, Steve Sanis, is an awesome guy. It was like, so basically, there was a class that we'd go and we'd make a band, learn four songs throughout the year, and our final exam was like a rock concert at the end of the year.
Fuck yeah.
So cool. Yeah. Oh, we can swear.
Oh yeah, you can.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. We're not on CBC or anything like that.
Fuck shit balls.
I guess we could just play that Blink-182 song, but you know, people know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so how is your band, or bands rather, for rock school?
I was pretty outgoing. I did like four bands a year. Like I definitely took advantage of that program. I did like a Sublime set one time. I played guitar for a Zeppelin set, which was super hard. I actually probably owe that set, or I owe my skill on guitar a lot to that set, I think, because it forced me to like really dig deep into the
Jimmy catalog. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you recall what songs he played
for the Zeppelin set?
Yeah. I mean, this is years ago.
But. It was. Yeah. We did Rock and Roll. We did, Heartbreaker. What else? Oh, The Ocean. And then, oh, I can't. I don't know.
A Lot of Love.
I got. Might have been.
Mm.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, well, there you go. Nailed it. Nailed it. Well, I mean, that's like
that song.
That's like the easiest song to learn by them. That's their easiest song, easily. So.
I didn't have a violin bow, though.
Alas. Yeah. Did you do the extended? Oh, whatever. That's not really important. So, yeah, I'll ask you about your Zeppelin tribute band. What other band's projects did you do while you were in high school?
Well, I think it was grade 12. I started, me and two buddies of mine, we started a band called Tuesdays at the Marquee. And we played like my buddy rapped. And I'd sing. We did like bluesy sort of songs with like hip hop influence because he rapped. And like we actually have an EP. Like I challenge you to go find it. Tuesdays at the Marquee. It's called Small Cat. it's out there somewhere. It's on like Bandcamp or something. But it's like we just get drunk every Tuesday. This was like after high school. We'd get drunk every Tuesday and just like jam in my parents' garage and make lots of noise, piss off the neighbors, you know. Yeah, and then, you know, that went on for a while. Eventually we all kind of went our separate ways, and we kind of do our own solo projects now. Yeah, my buddy moved to Toronto, so.
Boo.
Yeah. Just recently, though. That was long after.
Ah, fair enough.
Yeah. I think I found the EP.
Oh, you found it? You found it? What the hell?
Is that the Marquee?
Yeah.
Okay, can we listen to a little bit of that?
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, dude, we gotta do that.
Let's listen to,
Intro of the Flood, Decisions,
Over the Weather.
Over the Weather?
Yeah.
We'll just do like 30 seconds, but okay. Yeah.
It's gonna, it has an intro to it. Maybe you wanna.
Intro?
Yeah, there's like an intro, like an acoustic intro, and then it goes into the song.
Enough. Oh, the mid-tro. This one?
AK bought itself. Well, the very best they
the, when you absolutely the little intermission bits are just Samuel Jackson quotes.
No substitute.
And then, so that song's got like an acoustic little intro. I think it's Ain't No Sunshine. And then we go into the song.
Oh, we'll just let it play while we talk about it.
Yeah.
So whose idea was it to have the Samuel Jackson intros?
That was my buddy Jonas. Jonah Yano. Yeah, did you guys want to play? You can play
it. Oh, we're playing it now.
Oh, we're playing it now.
Yeah, yeah. Just as soon as we have the mics on, it cuts out the...
Oh, should I wear these headphones?
If you want to hear it. Yeah. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
She's always gone too long. Anytime. This is actually not bad. She goes away. Damn, okay. That's pretty good.
It's all right, yeah. We did at Nimbus, one of our buddies was going to Nimbus, like the recording school.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, so you recorded the EP for us for free.
Yeah, which all right. It felt a lot better than my high school band. We were terrible. We were completely dysfunctional, too. I'm always impressed by individuals who are like, yeah, so I started my band in high school and we're still together and we're an actual band and we do stuff. I'm like, how did you make that work?
Yeah, we're like Radiohead, right? Like they're one of the biggest bands in the world and they started in high school.
Yeah, like, you're like, how?
Yeah, totally.
Because it's high school.
Yeah, and it just happened, you happen to go to the same school and you happen to click with all these musicians perfectly and it happened to last for that long.
Yeah, I mean, all my bands have been through Craigslist.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's, you know, nothing wrong with that, but it's just it's a little more magical when we're like, oh, we're all boyhood friends.
Yeah, no, totally.
Like Keith and Mick meeting each other on the train or some story like that.
Yeah,
I think that's the story. They met on the train or something.
You gotta have a good story behind your band, right? Like you gotta have. It's all about.
I found
the story.
Them on Craigslist.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, no band bio likes this. You want to read?
Oh,
no,
we found each other on Craigslist.
There's no mystique behind it. Yeah. I just make shit up. I just like come up with something ridiculous.
Totally. I did that for one bio one time. I was like, I'm just gonna make shit up. Like, I'm just gonna like pretend I'm somebody else. Like, make it super exciting.
I even have like. I was thinking, like, as you're telling me, like, you know, it's like, oh, when did the moment you realize you want to pursue a career as a musician, I was thinking, like, man, wouldn't it be funny if someone came in and started describing, like, the plot to the song 2112 by Rush. It's like, yeah, I found this magical device that makes music, and I brought it to my local church, and they didn't like it, and they smashed it, and then I met an oracle, and then I lost track of what happened.
That's not a bad idea. I think you're onto something.
Yeah. I think I might start doing that. I love it when you've been a great guest, but I do love it when like musical guests like kind of fuck around with their hosts. When they just like are totally just like screwing around, like not answering the question properly at all. Don't get any ideas. Who are some of the artists that serve as a source of inspiration for your music?
Oh, it's always changing. I don't know. It's gone from like started probably John Mayer has been a huge influence, obviously.
Another John Mayer fan.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. John Mayer's got some clunky songs, but he's an awesome guitarist.
He's just so goddamn talented. Like, and what else? I mean, like classic rock growing up was huge for me. Radiohead, obviously. I mentioned Radiohead earlier. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's kind of a little bit of everything. Like, it's just mended together. And then, like, I don't know. It's funny because my style wouldn't necessarily know my influence. Like, there's a lot of, like hip hop songs. Or, like, Anderson .Paak is something I'm big into now.
Love Anderson.
And, like,
so much.
And that influence comes out, like, maybe not so much in the stuff that you're going to hear because it was written a little while ago. But the newer stuff, it comes out, but in like, interesting ways. Like, not. It's not obvious, you know? Like, I'll take, like, yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this.
No, where, like, you know, I'm kind of the same. There's so many, I'm trying to think of, like, I think I wrote something for, for Save On Radio. I think they were doing a bio thing. And I think I said my five favorite artists were Black Sabbath, Soundgarden, Nick Drake, Flaming Lips, and Radiohead.
Yeah.
And I'm not really in a band that sounds like any of those groups. So.
Totally. Yeah, or like Paul Simon, probably one of the best songwriters ever to exist.
Oh, Graceland, that album's just
that
divine.
Got to be top three of my favorite albums ever.
Yeah. Oh, it's perfect.
And then there's like new stuff. Just got into this guy, Matt Corby, which is it's super cool. It's kind of old school, like R&B vibes. Like, you just check it out. Like, it's awesome. That's what I've been listening to lately. And then just also influences like local bands too, like what they're doing. Like, I don't know. I get super excited about that. Have your friends make cool music and you actually like it.
I love it.
It's so good.
So many talented people here.
Yeah. It's one thing to have your buddy like show them their music and you're like, oh yeah, great, man.
But it's another thing. Play the drums in time.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, it's another thing when you're like actually stoked on it. Like that gets me.
Oh yeah.
It gets me excited.
Oh, for sure. Music. Your playing style, from what I've heard, leans heavily on finger picking. Who are some of your favorite acoustic guitar players?
Oh, that's tough. Some of my favorite acoustic guitar players. Is there a lot of finger picking? I don't finger pick that much.
If I was listening to the right Cal Roman, I heard some finger picking.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Acoustic guitar, we said John Mayer already. Who else? There's, I don't even know. Name some.
I don't know. Nick Drake. I'd recommend Nick Drake.
Nick Drake's cool. I like Nick Drake. I haven't dipped deep enough into that.
Well, he only put out 3 albums in his lifetime, and he has a bunch of backlog material, which I haven't listened to yet, but I should.
And as we talked about Fleetwood Mac too, but did we talk about Fleetwood Mac?
No, we haven't. We said classic rock.
Yeah, Lindsey Buckingham, probably one of those.
Man, is Rumours in your top 3?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, that one's there too. Just the sound of that album is so brilliant.
You know what I love most about that record? That record's timeless, and it's loved by multiple generations. Like, I think I was visiting my sister out in Kelowna, and we were, like, playing board games or whatever, and just like, oh, we need music. I just threw on Rumours, and, like, everyone in the room, I love this one.
yeah, totally. Just the kick snare and the bass on Dreams, like the sonic quality of that is just incredible. Which is probably like the most boring song to play on bass guitar in the history of music, but still, it takes talent to do that right in time, in the pocket.
Yeah. Well, in the pocket the whole time, just like, do not.
Yeah.
Don't start thinking
about
your divorce.
Probably not a good thing to do while you're performing.
I think it was John Mulaney who said Rumours is an album for people cheating on each other, written by people cheating on each other. Which is like, yep, that's crazy. Is the record.
You look at the lyrics and that, and they're all going through this shit, and they're like so dysfunctional. So he's talking about dysfunctional bands that somehow stick together. Well, they didn't.
Now they fired Lindsey Buckingham, which is just like, you guys are so old. Why are you doing this now?
What? actually, he comes in the restaurant I work at, Joe Forte's. He comes in, like, Mick Fleetwood has a restaurant, and the general manager of Joe Forte's like goes back and forth between Fleetwood's in Hawaii and here. So Mick Fleetwood and some of the band was actually in a couple of weeks ago.
I
wasn't working, unfortunately, but my girlfriend was, so she got to talk to them.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I find it funny that, like, you know, older artists, I think like the Crosby, Stills, and Nash guys hate each other.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, dude. I can't remember who said what to whom, but one of them said about one of the other guys, it's just like, you know, he's one of the worst people I've ever worked with. I hate the man. Like,
Just they went on for so long.
It's so long, and then just like, you're never going to hear those guys play together again. And like, I've been hearing Ozzy talking shit about Tony Iommi after they do the Black Sabbath farewell tour. I'm like, dude, why?
Yeah.
Why?
come on.
It, like, end on a high note. But
guy's only got 2 fingers, isn't
he? fingertips, but yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. How would you describe the Kel Roman sound? I know that's a little tough, but...
Yeah, I hate that question.
I still like asking it.
Yeah, the Kel Roman sound, I think it's honest. I think it has a West Coast vibe to it, as much as I don't like to admit it, because I don't like to, like, pigeonhole myself into, like, a...
Well, you used to have long hair, too, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I done some research.
Well, it's on your SoundCloud.
Yeah.
You don't have to dig that deep. I mean, we were able to find
Speaking of my SoundCloud, wipe that clean and start over here.
It's still good.
Yeah, well, it's all right.
Oh, you're too hard on yourself.
Yeah, you gotta be as an artist, right?
Yeah, I think we all are.
In order to improve, you gotta be someone hard on yourself.
Mm-hmm. Honest West Coast.
Honest West Coast. It's got like an indie sort of rock vibe too, I think, like a alternative rock. That's what I say. I've started saying when people are like, "Oh, like what kind of music do you play?" I'll just say alternative rock now.
It's funny you mention.
Like,
that.
I don't know. Like,
it's funny you mention that because I actually heard a little bit.
Doesn't mean anything.
I heard a little bit of Chris Cornell in your playing and songwriting.
Sure, I'll take that. That makes sense. Yeah, yeah. I definitely Soundgarden, Audioslave, huge influences for me.
Yeah,
not so much his solo stuff, but I could see the resemblance.
I wish I liked Chris's solo stuff more. Yeah. Some of it is junk, admittedly. One album he did with Timbaland, I'm like, nope, I'm going to pretend that didn't exist.
Yeah.
I think even Trent Reznor made fun of him for it. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, Chris, why?
Fair enough.
Yeah. You're actively involved with Van City Studio. Van City Studio host Travis James was on our show for episode 38. How did you get connected with that group, and what are some of the things you do to support them?
Yeah, so Travis is awesome. You talked to him already. With that, basically, I was filling in playing guitar for a buddy of mine who's doing. He did a show. Z and the Empties, awesome like hip hop stuff, hip hop sort of R&B soul vibe. We played in Victoria for the Phillips Backyard Weekender, and so I was filling in playing guitar for him there. And then while I was playing with that, I was kind of working on his like. Social media stuff as well. So Travis had reached out to Z and the Empties Instagram and asked us if we had like anything that they could feature on Van City Studio. Like, it's a new thing coming out. This was back in like June or May or something like that. And we were like, well, we don't really have anything yet. Like, he had stuff that he'd recorded, but nothing was like the acoustic vibe that we could do. But I messaged him back. I was like, I'm super interested in what you're doing. Like, this kind of, it's kind of been an idea of mine to do something very similar. Because I just graduated from marketing school, or I went to BCIT, went to business school. And so I wanted to make that work with music and saw what Travis was doing. And I was like, let's like meet for coffee. Let's talk. Cause I think, you know, I can help with the business side of things with this. Well, Travis is also very business minded, but yeah, so we got connected like that, and then I just have been kind of there to help out. Like, I'm doing the promotion we have an event coming up on the 22nd, the year-end showcase. That's at Café du Soleil. And yeah, I just kind of help out with the promotion stuff, like the Facebook page side of things. And just, yeah, we're kind of just trying to, what do you call it? We call it when you plan things. Like,
planning?
Strategize.
Strategery.
Yeah. Strategery.
Strategery.
Yeah, I'm just there. I'm like the extra man, extra set of hands if they need me. Yeah, just helping out. I love like getting connected with all these musicians and seeing what they're doing. And I think that like Vancouver has such a great music scene that's just been kind of tucked away in these little cliques, and everything should be working together. And I think that's the big thing with Van City Studio is all these like collaborations with all these, because there's so many like Root Dwellers, there's like
Local
Slums, there's all these little Anza, yep. Anza Room thing, there's some hip hop ones, there's like the Stew Jams,
I gotta check that out because we want to try and bring on some more hip hop and R&B artists in the new year.
Yeah, totally.
It's a big project for us.
I know. There's like so many more too. There's too many that I can't even name them all or think of them off the top of my head right now. But yeah, that's a big thing with Van City Studios, connecting all of these people together, because like all these groups are there. And I feel like if you look at it like a competition, or like it's like ours is better than yours sort of thing, it's like it doesn't help the overall scene. Like, why would you?
Yeah.
You know?
The stakes, so, yeah, sadly, are so low.
Totally.
Here.
Yeah. And just that the idea is to keep people, like, make Vancouver into a music hub, that people don't have to go to Toronto, people don't have to go to a bigger city because, you know, they're not getting the traction that they need.
Yeah. Oh, and it's kind of what, it's what we're doing. It's all about exposure. Yeah. It's all about, you know, giving people like you and Brandon, who was on the show earlier today, and all the wonderful guests we've had over the course of 50 episodes, just the opportunity to talk about what they're doing and showcase their music, because they're awesome and we love them, and they're not getting the same level of exposure as Toronto or Montreal.
Yeah, and bring in artists together, because like realistically, your best fans are other artists.
Oh yeah,
and it's like sort of a selfish thing, because you go to their shows and then you expect them to come to your shows. Like, you know, it's a trade back and forth, but also like, I don't know, so many people making fantastic music and putting on great performances in the city. Like, why not just, you know, go enjoy it live?
Exactly. Yeah, that's another, this is way far down the line, but I'd love to see if we can do something music festy, maybe partner with somebody else or maybe do our own thing or who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
That'd be awesome.
We'd love to hear another song.
Yeah, let's do it.
Sure.
Which one? I sort of thought of this beforehand. Let's do this one. This is a song I wrote when I was like 18 years old. Yeah, no. So it was. I thought it was finished for like the longest time, but then when I went to record my EP, which is like a weird EP. Well, I'll explain that later. We worked with it, and it didn't really like. There was like parts missing, and we kind of like reworked it, and it took forever. And then finally, I wrote a chorus for it that just made it all click together. And so, yeah, you'll hear it. Let's do it.
What's the song called?
Oh, it's called Into the Frequencies. It's the title track.
Oh, there you go. Sweet.
Yeah.
Write it all down before it fades into the frequencies, the ones you just can't tune back into. Write in the sound funnel Curtis Mayfield song. Such a familiar shade of blue, and the storm clouds burst over me. Inspiration sits down in the driver's seat, and you feel it on the back of your neck. The hair stand up straight and you shiver, and you wrote it on the back of a napkin way back when the feelings were fresh on your mind. Capture the mood or just get caught up in the atmosphere. The words, they just fall from all directions, and you feel it on the back of your neck. The hair stand up straight and you shiver, and you wrote it on the back of a napkin way back when the feelings were fresh. Desperate for perfection, call it a gift of phrase, nothing important to say.
You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio, and that was Kel Roman with Into the Frequencies, titled track off of his debut release that you're currently working on, and this is your first proper foray into solo material. How has your experience with past projects informed your approach to managing your solo career?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because when you said the intro, like you're like, oh, he's new, like has only played a handful of shows, like that's kind of not really true because I've played like so many shows like throughout the years.
As a solo artist?
As a solo artist, I've done like a lot of like background gigs, like, you know, like the boring play covers, sit in the corner, nobody listens to you.
I was just going by what was on Facebook.
oh yeah, well, and then there's Tuesdays we played, you know, I had like 15 shows or whatever, and then with the solo thing, I went to school, right? I went to BCIT, and that took up most of my time for like 2 years, so I kind of had to put music on the back burner, which was annoying, but it's probably for the better now, because the knowledge that I gained was important. But right before that, I played a show with like Kel Roman. We had a full band, played at his studio. We played at a studio, and so what was the question?
You start answering the things
and you're like, what were we talking about? Oh, how is it managing? Okay, so yeah, so I've recorded like so much material, but never really been happy with it. Like it's never been like, yes, like this is the one, I'm going to release it. So I've like doing this now, working with Chris has been amazing. I mean, he's a busy guy, and I was busy too, like when I was going to school. So our schedule is really hard. So it's been in the making for like 2 years. We've been working on this project. It's been taking forever, but it's honestly been worth the work and worth the wait, because what we're getting out of it is pretty great. I think just, yeah, now I'm laid back, but I feel like my management style is it works, you know, like people aren't.
All right. Got an admirer.
Hey, thanks, man. Right on, Santa Claus. We got Santa Claus outside. yeah, so I think just, you know, getting things done like through other people is a task, or is something that I've learned a lot in the last couple of years, and the past projects have helped me with that.
And you've mentioned this briefly, but you're working with Christopher Wang.
Wong, it's
Wong.
Wong?
Is
yeah.
it Wong?
Yeah, you said Wang the first time. I was like,
did I really misread an A for an O? Oh my
maybe
god!
Maybe it's my typo.
I don't know.
I should double check that.
I thought it was Wang. I thought that's what I saw on his website. Anyhow, I'll call him Chris. So you're working with Chris of the Faceplants and Rhea May on Into the Frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get connected with him, and what has his role entailed in the creation of this EP?
Oh man, he's been doing everything. Like he's so helpful. Like he's been producing it. He plays bass, like super talented musician, probably like the best, like I don't want to say it, but like the best bass player in Vancouver that I know. And just like such a talented guy. Like I couldn't have done it without him. Like I could have done it without him with someone else. It would have been totally different though. Like he's so been so patient too. Like we've been working on it for so long, you know, he's doing it for super cheap. Like, it's great. How did I get connected with him? He played bass. That show that I mentioned, he played bass for me for. How did I meet him? I think it was just through other musicians, like through my roommate now. Went to Cap for jazz school, and I think they went to school together. And anyway, I think, like, I don't know how I meet all these people. I just, I like making friends.
Just run into them.
Yeah.
Let's see. Have you been working with anyone else on the EP, or has it just been you and Chris?
So, me and Chris, I brought in people, like, I have Jeff Renz, who is also playing with Rhea May now, actually, or where they went on, it's sad, actually, she got pneumonia, so she had to cut her tour short.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so that's kind of shitty, but yeah. So Jeff Renz, amazing drummer. He came in, drummed on 4 out of 5 of the tracks, and well, he drummed on 5 out of 5. But then we got somebody else to come in and do another track, just because we just didn't. It wasn't right for the song. And then who else? Terrence Truesdale is my roommate and amazing keyboardist. Play a lot with him. And then who else? Daniel James, Brass Camel. He played
Daniel
on one
James.
Of the, you know him?
We've had him on the show.
There you go. Yeah.
Were you at the prog rock show at the Planetarium?
I wasn't. I didn't make it out.
Oh man, you missed out.
I know.
Holy shit.
I've been to a couple of their shows though, and it's just off the chain.
Oh
like, it's
man,
fucking wild.
He's. I mean, if you're talking, you know, the best some of the best musicians in the city. Like, he's probably the best guitarist in Vancouver, I'd say.
Yeah, blues guitarist for sure. Yeah. I used to live with a guy for... Or did I? Did I actually live with
him? Did I live with him? I'm not sure.
He lives in the house that I used to live at, but I don't know if we actually... Yeah, Thug's Mansion. Yeah. I don't know if we actually... No, we didn't. We didn't overlap, I don't think. No.
It's just imagine you live with him.
There's 13 people in that house. It's really hard to pay attention to figure out who was living there at what time.
It doesn't sound like you had any meetings, like roommate meetings.
No, it's fucking wild, that place. I still go. I go there to party like once in a while. They have like big. They had a big Halloween party. It was wild.
Oh damn!
It was fucking crazy, dude. Craziest party I've ever been to. They had like, well. There was, like, the living room where there was just jams going on with, like, the craziest musician. Like, so good. Just monsters. And then there was, like, a DJ setup happening in the next room. And then downstairs was, like, more jams going on. And, like, yeah, I ate a couple of shrooms and just...
Oh, oh man.
Yeah.
Ooh, all right. Halloween. That's
but I was getting a tattoo the next day, so I couldn't get super drunk. Ah. So I was proud of myself. I didn't get wasted. I just had like a couple handfuls of shrimp, and then
and then I met Jesus. where am I going here? How would you describe Into the Frequencies as a singular piece? What are some of the themes and subjects that you cover throughout?
Cool. Yeah. Okay. So Into the Frequencies, I'll explain that song that sort of explains the whole project.
It's a good title too.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. It's sort of what it means is, like, write it all down. This is what I'm going to get tattooed on myself, the lyrics to that song. Write it all down before it fades into the frequencies. And basically that's like when you have a songwriting idea, when you have an idea, and if you don't, like, it's kind of like a rule for myself, because if you don't write it down right away, you don't record it on your phone or something, like, and then you lose it, it's like the worst feeling in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to come back to it, and you're like, what was I singing? Like, what was the melody? And, like, now I'm so strict about myself. If I come up with anything, and it's just, like, I'll be at work or whatever, and I'll sneak off and, like, record it on my voice messages, because I hate that feeling. So that's sort of about songwriting, and like, that song is about songwriting, my songwriting process, I guess. And so the rest of the project, it's not, like, too conceptual. It's pretty much a collection of my favorite songs that I've written over the last, like, 10 years.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Singular piece. Yeah, so what I'm doing with that, too, is it's kind of cool, because I'm playing around with the idea of the way that people release things, and you know, like, the 12-song album, like, the only reason that existed, or that is the way it is because they had to, that's how much space they had, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's so different. People listen to one song, they listen to, like, singles, and they... different artists for each, like, playlist, right?
Yeah.
And the album is less of a thing nowadays, which is sad, because I love the whole, like, you get the hard copy, you have all this artwork, all this, like, all the song lyrics and everything inside. It's like an experience, right? It's part of the experience. And you can't, like, skip, like, when you had vinyls, you couldn't skip to the song, like, that you, well, you could. It was hard, though. Right? Like, yeah. So you just listen to the whole thing as a collection, right?
Yeah.
And so what I've been doing is with this one is I'm releasing a single every month or two. I actually have the final mix to the first single off of it, which I got today.
Oh,
so
cool.
I'm super stoked. Yeah, so I'm gonna do like a single for 5 songs, and then they're gonna come out like once a month. They all have different artwork, but it's all works together. I got my friend to do oil paintings, and so I have the artwork now for it too. So it's like all coming together finally after all this time. And so so it's all gonna like flow together, and by the end it'll be an EP, like be the full project. But I'm just doing it single by single. Yeah, that's
a cool approach.
Yeah,
I'm kind of thinking there's two bands that spring to mind that have done something similar that I know about. Protest the Hero, might be familiar with them. They're Toronto metal band. They're awesome. They released, I think their most recent release was an EP. It was like 6 songs, I want to say. And they did something similar. I think they released them like 1 song at a time, and they funded it entirely through GoFundMe or Patreon or one of those crowdfunding websites. And one of their perks was that, like, you know, if you supported it, you got to listen to like every part of the creation of the song. Like, you got to see videos, you got to listen to the demos. You could listen to like takes of certain sections if you wanted.
Right on.
Yeah, so they really like, you know, they encouraged their fans to like really buy into the creation of the release.
Yeah.
Another band.
You know what's funny about Protest of the Okay, for 1 second.
Oh yeah.
You know the rock school you talked about earlier?
Yeah.
So I didn't actually finish this set because it was impossible, but I had started singing for a Protest the Hero set, and
oh man,
we got through like two songs, and I was like, I can't do this.
It's like I will never be able to speak again.
I can't do this, guys. Like, you got to find someone else.
Okay, now I have to ask what songs did you try and
it was
perform?
Oh my god, I've been listening to them for ages. It was like back, what was that? It was like their biggest one. Oh, it's been years since I can't even think of any of the song names. What's like the well-known one?
I'm trying to
really
fudge. I'm trying to remember.
Right?
They're one of those bands where I just listen to it and it's like,
yeah,
oh, all this stuff is great.
Names, right?
Only one that comes to mind is Limb from Limb.
No, it wasn't.
That's the one where they're dressed up as the village people. Yeah. That video's great.
They got some good videos too.
Oh, their videos are hilarious. Yeah. Yeah, damn, Protest
then,
the Hero.
So Protest, and then you keep going?
The other band was, and this is a super underrated band that I'd recommend everyone listen to if they like 90s alternative rock in any capacity, a band called Failure. I would describe them as if Nirvana were way more into Pink Floyd than Black Flag. Yeah.
What?
So, dude, it's literally like it's space grunge. It's like spacey alternative rock. It's amazing.
That's wild. I gotta check that one.
Yeah, I'll show you some stuff after the show.
For sure.
But they released 3 EPs over the course of this year, and then they stitched them together as an album.
Oh
yeah. So they released like 3 EPs over the course of the year, and then near the I think a week or so ago they just put them all together. Like,
okay.
Oh, it's a whole album. These
that
are three parts
I
of
think,
a whole.
John Mayer did that, actually, with his last one.
Yeah.
He did, like, released five songs at a time, and then the whole album.
Smart move.
It is smart, yeah. Well, yeah. It's just, like, you play around with it, right? Like, why do things? Why do a 13-song album? Why? You could do a 100-song album. Like, you could literally do whatever the hell you want these days. Like, there's something you said about the nostalgia about it. Like, it's kind of cool, like, doing a proper, like, I probably will do a release that's, you know, meant to be like vinyl.
Yeah,
you know,
everyone loves vinyl.
Yeah, it's so cool and it's super, it's important to me. But yeah, just like playing around with that sort of stuff, like, why not?
Yeah. One other band, this is the last example because we gotta move on, but Flaming Lips have been very creative with how they release their music. I think on these are two of the wildest examples, but they had one where a thumb drive for unreleased music that you can't access anywhere was available, but you had to buy a actual human skull.
What?
Yeah. They sold an actual human skull with music in the skull.
What the fuck? Those guys are wild, dude.
Another one was similar thing, thumb drive in a gummy fetus. Yeah. So you'd have to eat the gummy fetus, which is just so weird. But they're nuts. They're one of my favorite bands because they're bonkers.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
I know, right? They even had, like, I was at one of their shows and they had, like, and this, I didn't buy it because it was expensive, but, yeah. Like, they had, like, a skull soap dish and then the soap was a fetus, and I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, right.
I don't want
to. I honestly think that's fine for me. I
just want to wash my hands with a baby. Yeah. Yeah, moving on.
Anyways, this could go. I'm just gonna stop them.
What can fans expect from Into the Frequencies?
Yeah. So the first single is pretty poppy. I'll show you the final mix when we're done here, or we could play it. We might be able to play some of it.
Kind of depends what you want to do. Yeah, we might have time, but...
Yeah. Anyways, so the first one's fairly poppy, but then it kind of... Like, it's the poppiest, definitely, of all of them. But then it moves on from that. It goes into more of, like, an alternative rock vibe, like peak sort of... Peak radio sort of vibe. Like
when they were good?
Yeah, when they were good. I haven't listened to the radio in forever, actually.
I only listen to CBC, but that's if my CD is stopped.
I just listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
Or Spotify.
Yep.
Yeah, and then it moves on. There's like a song that's sort of like, what do I say, introspective folk sort of vibe to it. And then, and yeah, sort of like there's a, like a bluesier song. And then there's Into the Frequencies is on it. Yeah, both of the songs that I just played were on it. So you can take what you will from it.
Nice. So it'll be songs.
Yeah, they'll all be
songs. Sound good.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
When will Into the Frequencies be available?
All right, yeah. So I haven't picked a date. I have, like I said, I have the final mix. I have to send it off to be mastered. And then put all the artwork together. Like, I have the painting, but I still need to get it digitalized. Like, I have to put the name on it. And I'm going to have, like, a little bit of digital stuff. And then it's going to be... I was aiming to try and do it before the end of the year. So, if it's before the end of the year, it's before the end of the year. If it's the first week of January, it's the first week of January. But very soon.
Mm-mm.
I haven't picked a date yet.
You could do a Christmas release. I know Run the Jewels did that. They dropped one of their albums on Christmas.
Yeah. Was it Christmas themed?
No, but I... One of these days, I know they'll do something like that.
Merry Christmas, motherfucker.
Well, actually, no. Now that I think about it, they have a Christmas theme song. They actually do. It's like the last song off their first record. I can't remember it for the life of me. It's called Christmas in something. But yeah, they actually have a Christmas song.
Oh, I'll have to listen to that one. Add that to the Christmas playlist.
Maybe just don't throw it. Just don't throw that on at a family gathering. It's like, why are they swearing and yelling?
My family's pretty liberal.
Fair enough. What are some of your plans to promote the release? Are you looking to craft a music video?
Yeah. So if anyone wants to make me a music video, that'd be fucking great.
That's how it works, right?
Yeah. Hey, just throwing it out there to the airwaves. Yeah, I'll figure that out at some point, making a music video. But I got some ideas, but I think I'm going to keep them to myself.
Good call.
Yeah. Little secret ideas.
Yeah. I like sharing mine, but not on the air, because then anyone could steal them.
Exactly.
And I'd have to hunt them down.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to get creative with it. I got a couple things.
Yeah.
I got to make some merch, too. I got to do that.
Yeah. Got to open the store.
Yeah. Make money, sell my soul in any way possible. That's
yep. So, in terms of your live performances, how often do you play solo and how often do you play as a band? And do you prefer one or the other or one over the other?
I love playing with a band. When you hear your songs come to life like that, it's like something else, right? It's great. Like, I get bored by myself sometimes playing, but when there's other people with me and, like, some of the guys I play with, well, all the guys I play with are just amazing musicians, so it's, like, I'm the worst musician in the group, right? So, so it's great. Obviously, I want to hear them. And then, yeah, like, I don't really like the whole solo thing, but it's just so much easier. Like, I can rely on myself. I can schedule my practices, my rehearsals. I can do, you know, like, trying to get five people in a room together, busy people. And good people who are, you know...
I know the feeling.
Yeah.
I play in a band, and, let's see, drummer lives in Coquitlam. I live in Vancouver. Lead guitarist lives in Langley, and the vocalist lives in Surrey. So, and we practice in Langley. It's great.
Great. Yeah. That's,
yeah.
You had the shit end of that stick, didn't you?
Well, it's free space, and it's our space, so
that's
nice. I just wish it was closer, but... No, that's the extent of my complaint.
Yeah, I just wish I want to play more with the band, but it's hard because I'm using different musicians now too. Like because some of them are unavailable or whatever. And then actually, Chris and Jeff are fucking available for that show now. Fuck, they're damn it.
There you go.
Well, yeah. So yeah, playing with the band is always better, of course.
What do you think makes the singer-songwriter community in Vancouver unique?
I don't know if it is it unique. I don't know. Would you say it's unique?
I would say so, but I was hoping you had some ideas.
I don't know. I've never been to another city and seen their singer songwriting scene, so I can't.
Yeah,
really
no, fair enough.
Like,
I think Mo from Rickshaw. Pitch that, threw that softball back at me. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, that might be a dumb question.
have you
I do that sometimes.
I don't know. I could guess.
Okay, well, what do you like about the singer-songwriter community in Vancouver?
I do like, well, I've been so much more involved in it in the last year, and it's been awesome. Just like everybody seems to be very supportive of each other. Like we all, everybody's like open to new ideas, and we're all sharing songs and sharing spaces and coming together and writing songs together. And I don't know. It seems promising. It seems really cool. Everybody's really accepting. Maybe that's what's unique.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I'd say so. That's a good summation. Let's see. What is your favorite local release of the year?
Local. Okay. Candace Coker. Compass. She released a song.
Yeah.
Compass. Mm-hmm. I am so into that song.
I was really like pleasantly surprised when I heard that song because she's talented. There's no question there. I just didn't expect that style of song.
Yeah. And the production
to be what
is
she'd
great.
Put out. Yeah. The
Phenomenal.
Mandolin. Holy shit.
Yeah. It's such a good track. Like, yeah. That's what I'm super. Yeah. Matt Storm.
Yes.
He's mm-hmm. great too. That's, I've been listening to that a lot. That's great.
Another mayor aficionado.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there a name for mayor fans? Mayor heads,
yeah.
John, it is. John Mayer covering Motorhead songs.
Well, he's touring with the Dead, right?
Ace of Spades. You imagine if he, oh man, I want John Mayer, make a Motorhead tribute album, please. That'd be hilarious.
Yes, if you're listening. yeah, what else? There's so many good, I've been making a Avensity playlist with just like all the local artists, and there's a few of them already. I've been kind of borrowing them, but like there's so much great music coming out from Vancouver. It's, mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. phenomenal. It's been awesome. It's so good like hearing it too. You're just like, whoa, this is I know this guy. Or I know this girl.
Yep. Are there any local bands or artists that you recommend we bring on the show for a future episode?
Ooh.
Paying it forward.
Oh god, yeah.
I always like to do that.
There's so many. Am I supposed to pick one?
Yes. No, like to three.
Have you had Ivan Hartle?
Not yet.
There you go.
We're angling to
get that guy on here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's a boss.
He's great.
Love that guy. Ivan. I mean, Vincey Studio has so many people come through. Sydney Bow, Caitlin Canning, Wesley Atu. There's so many. Like Eric's. What's his last name? Something. Whelming, the band Whelming. I know I'm forgetting someone. Now I've started naming them, and I'm feeling bad because I'm not going to name them all.
Oh, that's okay. That's good. That's a good grab bag.
You know who you are.
Yeah. That guy with the guy or gal with the acoustic guitar.
Yeah. Or Candace Coker. Get
yeah. Oh, we've had her on the show.
Joshua Job?
Not yet.
No, not yet. To. Yeah.
He's amazing, dude. Yeah, the guy's so involved. Like he's everywhere. Mm-hmm. He's everywhere.
Probably doesn't sleep. Or he has clones.
And yeah. he's also like studying like computer programming or something. Like,
definitely not sleeping.
No, not at all.
Insomniac Clones. It's actually not a bad band name. I got to write that down.
Before it fades in the frequencies.
Yeah, before it fades in the frequencies. Speaking of which, what are your plans for 2019 besides releasing your EP?
Release my EP. I'm going to try and play some festivals. I really want to play some festivals. I want to play more shows. That's a pretty vague question. I just realized. Like, what do you mean? Like, I'm going to go to Europe in October.
Oh, it's just kind of like, you know, what you're doing music-wise.
Oh, music-wise.
Yeah, yeah.
I probably need to get groceries.
Get groceries. Gotta buy some toilet paper. If I'm going to make some more music, I'm going to probably record a lot with my roommate, Terrence, because he's got a setup in his room. We've been toying around. We got like 10 or 15 songs, or like ideas for songs at least.
Nice.
So hopefully something will come out of that project. I don't know if it'll be Kel Roman. It'll probably be something else because it's got a totally different vibe to it. But yeah, I've been kind of getting away from the acoustic guitar lately. I feel like I'm hitting a wall with that, like losing the creativity. Maybe it's just because I suck at guitar, but...
See, you say that. But I can't play guitar, so...
Yeah, well, you're probably good at other things.
I play bass.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's guitar. It's just two less strings. It's easier than guitar.
Yeah, that's all bassist.
Sorry, bass players.
No, we could.
No, I hate that.
Well, like Rodney Dangerfield, I got no respect.
I feel like when people are like, "Oh yeah, I play guitar. Oh, and bass." I'm like, "No, you don't. You play guitar.
You play
guitar on a bass. Do you use a pick?"
Yeah. Well, I use a pick, but I play it as a bass.
Yeah.
Flea uses a pick. Damn it.
No, there's nothing wrong with using a pick. Depends on the song.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, true. Yeah. Depends on what you're doing.
100%.
Play some bass chords.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right on. Oh, this guy's here.
Yeah, hey. Oh, hi, Travis.
What up, Trav?
When is your next show?
My next show? I got a couple. So I got one on December 2nd. Oh, wait, that's today. Yeah, so like right when I leave this room. In about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's my next show. And then I got one on the 6th at the Railway Club, playing with a pretty stacked, what do you call it, lineup. Adara, which is super cool. I didn't even know about them, her, them. I don't know. Rain City Blue is on that bill. And then Titus Calderbank. I hope I got that right.
Titus Calderbank.
Yeah.
Best name in the city.
Yeah.
I just want to meet him just like, dude.
Right?
I want
to
name.
I can't wait to meet all those. I haven't met any of those bands before. And I'm super stoked on it. And then I got one on the 15th. I'm playing with the Longmore at the Root Dwellers Showcase.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, they're just out there.
And then I got to plug the Van City Studio event, the year-end event at on the 20th, on the 22nd December. Come to that. Caitlin Canning's playing. Westia 2. And there's another one. Oh, Candace Coker.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Gonna be a great show.
Yeah, you've got a busy month ahead of you.
Hell yeah,
that's good.
Lots of promoting, lots of stupid on the Facebook and the social media and trying to promote all these things.
I know it's a pain.
It's
but
like,
it's a necessary
I really
evil.
Should post this. And I wonder, like, does anybody even like? Does it work?
Yeah.
Do people actually come? They see it. They're like, oh yeah. I guess they do.
There's a whole string of articles about promoting shows on the hard times.
Yeah, exactly.
Coworker can't make it to your show, but will totally make it to
the next one.
The next
one, I see that one, yeah.
How can listeners check out your music and keep up with everything you're doing?
You can follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Kelrum Music. I will have a website up soon. That'll be, I think I have kelroman.com.
And you're the only Kel Roman I know, so.
Yeah, kelroman.com. And then, where else? Where can they follow me? They can just come out to some shows, because I'll be going to lots. And come meet me. I'm fun.
You're tall.
Yeah, I'm tall. Super hard tall. You can't miss me.
First thing I said, oh, hi, Kel. You're tall.
Yeah. I was like, you're observant.
Yes.
That's my answer to that.
Yeah.
You play basketball? You're a jockey?
No, I play guitar.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Kel. This has been a lot of fun, and we can't wait to see you in the snug in a matter of minutes.
Heck yeah.
All right. So let's play this out. Thanks for listening. We're your hosts, James Olson.
And Travis Noel.
Pacific Sound Radio is produced by Jane Fraze. Travis, where can people keep up with what we're doing?
Well, you can check us out on Facebook, Pacific Sound Radio, as well as our Instagram at Pacific Sound Radio, Twitter at Pacific S Radio, YouTube, Pacific Sound Media, as well as our website, PacificSoundRadio.com.
If you know a local band or artist that you think should appear as guests on our show, let us know. Fill out the form on our website or send us an email to talkpsr@gmail.com. As always, we are live on the air every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. only on Save On Radio. Have a good night, everybody.
Bye.